There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away. So it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
Hey, I'm Willie.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Eric.
And you're listening to
the Willie Whistlers Podcast.
What's happening, everybody? We are just working on our whistles around here at the Element, up here in the lounge. What do we call this area, Tyler? The loft?
The hunting room? I don't know.
I feel like the loft is kind of like a cheesy youth minister type, like, come hang out on Wednesdays at the loft. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
I got his foosball table.
But we...
It's also like an apartment complex in like every downtown area.
That is true. The lofts, usually it's plural, right? The lofts.
I think, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I like the singular version of it.
Maybe so. Yeah. But Tyler, KC, and Eric, Willies, are up here doing some whistling, talking a little bit about some hunting. These boys have been out doing some public hunting all over the country. Eric and I are fixing to head out and do some public hunting elsewhere in the country, and it's going to be a good time. I've been doing some private hunting here in the old East Texas.
Hunting for privates?
Hunting privates, yeah. It's been a good time. I got real close to killing some deer. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving. We've had a very merry Thanksgiving around here. I'm jolly with my big belly right now. I wasn't going to eat anything for lunch today. And then Tyler's wife made macaroni and cheese. And then one of his kids didn't finish their mac and cheese. And I could not let it go to waste. So I ate it. And here we are. Things are going good. Fellas, how do y'all feel? Eric, how do you feel?
I feel refreshed. I'm ready to go.
He's got that refreshness.
Dude, Eric is like...
It's the energized
bunny. He was texting me. He's like, hey, are you hunting tonight? And I was like, dude... You need to relax, bro.
Please don't answer these questions.
Like, hey, can I go with you? Like, dude, you need to sleep or something, man. Goodness gracious. I hear y'all had a fun trip.
Are you asking Eric?
It really is actually a statement, but I chose to put a question mark at the end of it, or an inflect.
It was a question inflection.
Yeah, question inflection projection.
I had fun. I don't know if Tyler
That's
did.
Good.
Yeah.
No, it looked like... Tyler's miserable. Lacrosse boots were barely tall enough, so them titty wees that our cameraman was wearing, I feel like they might be
in the wet. Dude, I don't know. I don't know if they're actually any different. I just think I walk different.
What, the height?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought those look short. Y'all put them next to each
other? I think they're just a hair.
I think
you would
think that by the way he walks, but I walk different.
You do walk different, that's for sure. I saw Tyler in the grocery store the other day, and he had his Nebraska walk going for sure.
Getting after it.
Y'all all know what we're talking about, all right? On the way, so I was creeping. I was on the phone. Tyler pulls up to the grocery store, sells some unmentionables in the parking lot to somebody, and then goes in, and there are these people ringing this bell by this red pot. And y'all all know
not
nobody.
An unmentionable pot, but an unmentionable pot.
Unmentionable pot. Trying to get donations so that 2 cents off of every dollar can actually go to somebody who needs it. And Tyler was straight up on his toes getting in there past those folks. And I was too. I found somebody in the parking lot I knew and tried to act like I was doing a conversation on the way in. So, all right, see you as soon as we got through the door. That way I didn't have to get asked
if
for.
If you walk weird enough, people don't want to talk to you.
Unless you find another weird walker.
That's
because,
true.
You know, in Raines County, they every once in a while they end up walking together down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the guy in Point? That's riding the little hover scooter thing around.
No, hadn't been to Point in a minute.
I go every Sunday and Wednesday. Yep. And believe me, it's always something.
Yeah.
You remember, like, every Christmas, these are kind of a thing, right? Like, people are like, I don't know what to get my grandkids. What's this, the newest, you know, Chinese thing that I can get them? And it's those little two-wheeled little hovercraft things. They're like a, they have a, not a pendulum, what am I trying to say inside of them?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Oh, goodness.
Has to do with gravity.
Yes, yeah. Somebody's screaming right now. I am too in my head. Anyways, there are two wheels.
Oh, it's not a pendulum.
And you stand on them and they go, right? And you lean forward to make them go faster.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy.
Hoverboard.
Yeah. There's a guy in Point that has one and it's light up. And he's been driving around out in the four-way stop with this thing. And then the other day, Cassie and I were leaving church and this guy is doing it. The same thing, but he's holding a bicycle, but he's on his hoverboard, and he's driving
taking
his bicycle
his
on his little hoverboard.
Hold up, dude. So there ain't a cop there managing this guy?
If you care to commit crimes, Point, Texas is a place to do it right now. Because
I can guarantee if you roll that stoplight, there will be a cop on your butt quick.
They fired everybody and are having
to
like rent a cop from the city, and they don't always get one.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
I'm definitely rolling that stuff.
Yeah, for real.
Take my chances.
You know, probably the highest per capita crack house in
it's the meth capital of Texas.
Yeah, and we don't have police.
That's like an official title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what else? There's no police there. Crime hasn't even gone up.
Defund them.
Take that for what it's worth. All right, guys.
Defund
you think about that for a second.
I mean, it couldn't go up much.
It couldn't go up.
Kind of like your boy.
So what good were they doing when they're there? Writing you tickets when you roll through the stop sign?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Instead of cracking down on the crack?
That's right.
Yeah. Anyways, all right, back to this is not the Libertarian Podcast. This is actually the Element Podcast. So to go with how stupid that is, we're going to talk about some other stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all ready?
This is a stupid stuff podcast right here. That's what we're doing today.
There is this thought that I came up with the other day, and we've probably talked about it quite a bit, but I thought we should probably project it onto a audio projection here, that if you whitetail hunt enough, especially on public land, you end up sitting in some stupid spots. Would you agree?
Yes.
Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. I can say recently.
sometimes you sit in a stupid spot because it's like your last option. Sometimes you sit in a stupid spot because you thought it was a not stupid spot until you sit there and you're like, oh, this is stupid because I didn't see any deer. But the one that we're really going to talk about is sometimes you sit up in stupid spots somewhat out of desperation and crazy brainstorming. Okay. And a lot of times those don't pan out. Sometimes they do, and that's what's interesting, and I think that's just kind of a thing that I wanted to table and have us talk about a little bit, because I'm going to take an example from Kansas, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Eric and I hunted a stupid spot. We, on this piece of public, there's an old homestead there, a house, you know, and there's still a barn people use and stuff, and there is a, it's all public, right, but there's a shelter belt, a trees right there, right on the edge of this yard, pretty much right on the public land. And there were scrapes all over these trees. And we set up a camera on it. And sure enough, every buck that we wanted to shoot or did shoot was on that camera. Both the deer that you and I shot in Kansas showed up on that camera, along with the giant that I had been chasing and some other really good deer too.
Mostly night picks,
but some.
The giant that you were chasing, there was an in shooting light
evening picture there. So it's about day five of chasing this deer around, and I'm like, you know what? What the heck? Let's go set up in that shelter belt, all or nothing. If he comes in, we'll shoot him at the in the chest at 12 yards, and if he doesn't, then we just wasted an evening. Guess what we did?
Wasted an evening.
But, you know, we tested the method, and you know, this is the weird thing, too, about... there's kind of two methods to public land hunting. There's the jump around and hunt a different spot every day and try to figure them out. And then there's the, I'm going to sit this same thing until it works. Those guys kill a deer almost every year.
Yeah.
We kill, on average, more than one deer a year, but we have a lot of frustration too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of, we kind of try to do a different thing. But for the average guy, the sitting in one spot thing kind of makes sense.
Yes,
because it'll work sooner or later, especially in the rut. And I think to kind of get back to the specific stupid scenario that Eric and I put ourselves in there, if we would have set that on good winds, 10 hunts, pretty decent chance we shoot a deer.
Yeah, there's like three scrapes right there too.
Oh, dude, there was like seven or eight. Yeah, but three big ones like you're talking about. Yeah,
I mean, there was if you'd have been sitting there the whole trip, you would have shot that deer one evening.
Doesn't that infuriate you?
Yeah.
It's like it gets down deep into you, and you're like, man, do I even know how to hunt?
Yeah.
You know, because it's like I could just have patience, sit there, and kill this deer.
Yeah.
Or you could have patience, sit there for 8 days and not see him.
Let me tell you about – we can go back and forth here a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about a little stupid spot that I hunted one time. It was Iowa in 2019. And it was like day 11 of my actual hunt time there, but it was like day 4 of my second trip.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had just gotten busted by a deer at like 5 yards that came straight to my tree on a hill and my camera fell. If you might have seen this, I might be telling you old news here, but if you haven't, you can watch the video. It's a Iowa public land buck from 2019. It's really cool footage. And anyway, but I, the video before that, I had a buck killed. I mean, like, if I wasn't videoing, I'd have killed him at 20 yards broadside. Well, he turns at 20, walks right to me right after my camera fell, you know, nose down, and I had to put it back up. And then he walks like 5, sees my steps, follows them up with his vision to me, and then runs off. And I was just like, I was down in the dumps, man. We'd had some close calls on the trip.
This is the second trip to Iowa. It's after you and I went up there, had a wreck in your truck, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And so, and I actually, on this trip, I left with $1.67 in my bank account, I believe it was. And I had played a gig, so I had like $200 in cash or something like that to get me some gas, you know, and was hoping that my wife would get paid in the next week or so. And so, like, I'm pretty, like, desperate at this point, right? I'm sleeping in my truck. I'm not sleeping well. It's supposed to rain, and so I guess my wife did get paid. I ended up getting a hotel room one night, and slept in the hotel room, got a decent sleep, and I knew that it was going to rain that next morning, and it was going to quit right about daylight. So I was going to go in after daylight and sit like 80 yards from the road. And so if you think about it, it's pretty stupid. 80 yards from the road.
Not getting up early and going.
Yeah, setting up in the daylight, in shooting light, you know, just right after. But still, it was in shooting light. I'm setting up. I like to get in there early.
You do.
And 40 minutes after I set up, probably. The dirt bike comes. It sounded just like a dirt bike. I thought it was a dirt bike, but yeah, I shot a big old buck, you know. It was one of those stupid spots that... ended up
sorry Eric.
Not being so stupid. So
yeah,
you know, that's the thing that can happen, right?
It is, and that's kind of the concept of like almost every spot is stupid until it works.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like when you think about it.
I mean, dude, if you haven't been there,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you know that it's not stupid? You know what I mean? And like, that's the thing is, so like. You know, there's some places on private that guys are thinking about right now that are dang near bulletproof, you know, and it's not a stupid spot. They've killed 14 deer there over the last, 15 years or whatever. But
yeah. There's guys out there that kind of have those traditional spots, you know.
But if you're running and gunning, like you said, you're going to feel dumb a lot. Mm-hmm. I felt dumb so much this week, dude.
Oh, and it's like you can go into those situations and you can, like, you've seen that meme where it's the guy off of Sunny in Philadelphia, and he's got all these things connected on the wall. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Charlie.
And you've done all this stuff. See, Eric, he knows, right? Yeah. But I just know the meme. But he's, like, done all the conspiracy theory stuff to, like, oh, this is why it works. And you go in there feeling so good about this dumb idea, and then you don't see a deer, and you're like, oh, that was so stupid. I'm never doing it again. And
then you start to realize, what you had going was you thought all these things played into it being a good spot, so you set up there. And then when you don't see deer, you say, oh, yeah, there's this, 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 and this.
Exactly.
And now I'm an idiot. Yeah. You know, I'm stupid now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. And you can even do it where you think a spot is a good sit, not just talking yourself into it. It's like, oh, we've had good sits here for forever. And then you sit there and you don't see any deer, and you're like, oh, yeah, the moon's this, or the wind's this, or the food changed, or whatever it might be, and then you realize why it's bad.
Yeah. Let me tell you about another dumb, stupid spot I sat one time at our old friendly place there, and we were hunting. I was hunting the shelter belt, and we were hunting a north wind, and it's cold, and I want to sit and look at this cornfield because I can get shots out there, right? And it makes sense that a deer would travel down the edge of the field there, not really like in the shelter belt thickness, right? And we're hunting this deer called kickers that just, you know, deer with dual kickers on his G2s or whatever. We just called them kickers. And we had seen him on trail camera. Well, what does he do? He comes right down the east and west, you know, shelter belt, 30 yards behind me. Can't get a shot to him. I literally called him into like 20 yards, still couldn't get a shot to him because I set up on the north side on a north wind. Should have been south side or at least in the middle. But you're like, I'm thinking like, oh, well, this is the edge, you know, and there's corn here. He's going to show up here. But then you see the deer do the thing and you're like, I'm an idiot. Yeah, what was I doing? You know, it's just so dumb. There's just, you know, there's so many times I can think of over the last several years where it's just like, you and I, you know, what's fun to us is scheming and running around trying to make things work, right?
For like 3 days.
Yeah.
After that, I'm tired of it. Yeah. I want it to work.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, that's right. But, you know, that's what we end up doing. So we end up sitting in a lot of stupid spots, man. You know, I'm trying to think of other ones. I know there's several this week.
I'm sure there's a ton. Desperation forces you into stupid spots sometimes, and sometimes you learn from that. I think that... one thing that we try to do on these out-of-state trips is maximize our time and efficiency, and we tend to not buy into the like whole mile back in there thing very often unless we feel like it's necessary. Y'all did some of that this week. We'll get into that in a second. But one of the reasons we end up sitting in stupid spots sometimes is because we're trying to outsmart the deer and the hunters as opposed to just outwork them, which we do that pretty often too. Not saying we're the baddest dudes around by any means, but, you know, sometimes you just got to be tough when you're dumb, and I'm, you know.
Fairly dumb.
I hadn't passed a test in a
while. Fairly dumb.
I hadn't took very many, but, you know. So whenever you're doing that whole, like, well, let me just hop in here right quick, sometimes it pays off gloriously, and other times it doesn't at all, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's kind of my take on it.
Well, I mean, you know. It just, you're 100% right, man. And, you know, I don't know. It's a weird thing because, like, especially in the rut, like, dumb spots can get good real quick.
Yeah, they can get real good real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you can just figure out a few things that you're like, oh, actually, when you look at it, like, you zoom way out on X and it, you know, you can kind of see the big picture or whatever. You know, like, oh, this place is awesome even though it's tiny.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or, like, my property... I've been sitting in a dumb spot all week, but I can't talk myself into doing anything else because that's the only place I've ever had good hunts on the whole place. Is my property sets up, it's about two-thirds, you know, outside where the house is, about two-thirds native grass kind of brush stuff, and then about a third timber. Last year, I hunted the timber a bunch and didn't have very good hunts at all, and this year, I've been hunting in this one pine tree that you've both been in the big middle of the property. That's like the only tall tree. And I got corn at the base of it. You know, don't get me wrong. But like, even when I didn't have corn there, it didn't matter. Like that, you could have good hunts sitting there. And it's like, dude, this is 100 yards from my back door. You know, like this is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
These deer aren't going to come over here. And what, there's trails all around that thing. You know, I almost shot a giant 6-point at 20 yards.
Yep.
And at 35 yards. And then also almost shot a really good buck. two mornings ago, and then I saw another bigger, like, it's just, it's a good spot, you know? And it's like, you have to do some of that, like, so-called stupid stuff to find those little honey holes or those good spots. Yeah. Or you can run trail cameras or whatever. But another thing I'm figuring out, and this has nothing to do with that topic, is that if I was hunting my property just off of trail camera data right now, I wouldn't be hunting there at all.
But nighttime picks?
Yeah, nighttime picks, and they're not even that many. Yeah. You know, there's that, that big 6-point's been there twice at night, once late in the evening, but he's not consistent at all. But if I have set a morning and evening hunt over there, I've seen a shooter deer on the property.
Maybe I should hunt my property because I ain't seeing nothing.
I know, dude. Trail cameras can be somewhat deceiving, and I kind of wonder, and we've talked about that before, but I kind of wonder if like setting them up over the corn pile or food source or whatever is cool, but you just aren't getting the whole story because mm-hmm. then things don't always just stop right there, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's kind of a stupid spot. Thoughts? You have any other thoughts on stupid spots, Eric?
I about shot a buck in Illinois on a stupid spot.
Did you? Yeah, I remember you nearly shot that deer.
On Thanksgiving, I was sitting...
I thought it was a pretty smart spot. Why was it stupid?
Well, remember, I was telling you how it was close to the parking lot? I could literally see my Jeep from my stand location.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
But,
it's a blue Jeep Wrangler, right?
Yeah, Jeep Wrangler.
And to the south of me was some ag fields, and I had south winds, and just the only spot that made sense that morning was where I was, kind of.
Yeah.
And I had a tree line that goes to that ag field, and I was just kind of hoping that they'd go to that ag field at night and then come back down on that tree line back to where I was. And I was sitting there, and then a little spike came in, and I was like, oh, I'm going to shoot this deer. And he came in, but then got, like, spooked out for some reason. I was like, well, that's weird. And then all of a sudden, a bigger deer, pretty good-sized shooter, came barreling in there, and I just couldn't get myself turned around right for a right shot, but it about went down in a dumb spot.
Dead gummit.
It would have been the easiest job to go get him. And
oh, that would have been so cool.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Telling you, man, it's a... I think that we overvalue, or however you want to say it, we put too much weight on roads and parking areas and stuff like that. Especially roads, man. Deer don't give a hoot about a road.
Mm-mm.
Hardly ever, unless they get road hunted. And that's then, you know, if he got a place that they're used to getting shot at or something. But otherwise, like, the deer in my property are crossing the county road daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of places are like that. Urban so or hard rural. For me to
get rid of that.
I know. But, I mean, think about your hunt in Iowa.
I know.
Right there. You could see. I mean, you watched them cross the road.
Yeah. That's when I first saw them. They were crossing the road.
You know? It's weird, man.
With the world of YouTube, too, I kind of feel like more people are starting to go back further in places. Mm-hmm. And I feel like 10 years ago, people probably did hunt right off parking lots and roads. And,
oh, yeah.
But now with just so much knowledge out there now, I feel like people are starting to go back way in there and overlooking those spots. And
when it's
a good point.
Not ruddy feeling, though, it is so hard for me to not go far in
you
there.
You know, in Texas, it's not for me anymore, I don't think, because – how many times do we have trail camera pictures of some dude in orange walking around a mile and a half back in there? You know, like,
yeah,
it's like
too many.
It's not worth spending all that extra time and effort to go that far in there if you're just going to encounter pressure again. You just instead need to find the holes and the little spots, you know, that do work. And then
do work, baby.
At the same time, how often do we bail off in there? Because okay, Tyler and I have talked a lot about this, but in 2013, I was hunting 1.7 miles from the parking lot consistently, like way back in somewhere, and having some good hunts. It was so good. I have been back in there scouting that same stuff recently. Three cell cameras, a couple of ladder stands, and a couple screw-ins and some other trees that some guys left.
I bet you I know who some of that stuff is.
I bet I do, too. You know, and it's just like... okay, like Eric's saying, in the world of YouTube, everybody's getting all this confidence about bailing off in somewhere, carrying way too much stuff back in there and leaving it and forgetting about it. But still, it's like, I don't know, it might almost be good for us because it's kind of evening out the pressure somewhat.
Yeah.
You just find the holes, do your some good scouting, you know, and figure things out. But I don't know. Stupid spots work, and I think that it's worth getting creative sometimes because, you know, honestly, that's what killed both of us deer in Kansas this year is getting creative and doing what – not that the spot was stupid, but the approach was stupid because how many times did we have we not killed a deer on the ground? Unlimited.
Right? Unlimited.
Yeah. As many as opportunities as they were, we hadn't done it. And this year we did it twice in 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's something that can be done. So with all that being said, this week y'all decided to go do something that wasn't stupid at all. It's very smart. But
so smart.
You did quite a bit of the bailing off deep stuff, right?
Let me tell y'all something. Y'all know about this federal government we got, right? They like to spend more than they make. That's what we do. That's what we did this week.
They actually don't make anything. They steal a lot, but they don't make anything.
That's right. They spend more than they steal. We spent more than we make this week. Oh, we got destroyed, man. We hunted some stupid spots this week. We went to Arkansas. And we hunted several different spots through the state, and we hunted different varying habitats from really pretty gnarly hill stuff to river bottoms and everything in between, you know, kind of upland oak stuff that we see a lot around here even. You know, it looks very similar. And we spent 5 days hunting. And we saw deer from the stand on two hunts. And one of those hunts, it was one cruising buck that we got had in our lives for all of 90 seconds.
Tried to mouth gun him in?
Oh, he was in. He was 23 yards, you know, came right by us just like I wanted it. But he was, you know, one horn, year and a half year old. And
that's
I was,
a tough deer to shoot.
Yeah, I just thought, man, we need a three-year-old to do that. But I think I learned a lot. I think I have a lot of information to kind of go on if I want to go back, which I think I do want to go back at some point. I don't know if it'll be next year or later this year or in a couple of years or whatever. But it was a struggle, man. And I think a big part of it was getting to learn a couple new kind of habitats. I think, you know, I mean, I listened to some podcasts about hunting hill country because it's not something we have a whole lot of experience with. And, you know, outside of Iowa, I don't know if I've really hunted too much hills. I guess Nebraska this year was pretty hilly where I killed. But I wanted to kind of get some thoughts from, you know, some of these people who spend a lot of time doing it. And I spent some time listening, and I think that maybe it, you know, helped. The first time, hunt, we had deer blow at us, but we never saw them. So they, you know, got our wind.
That's fun.
In the hills. Yeah. Yeah. So, but like, you know, I spent some time there trying to learn how to hunt that stuff, which I think was valuable. I think there's some takeaways, you know, you and I really started to think about things, especially in that type of country as like, just not giving yourself the most favorable wind because you're probably not going to be able to kill a deer that is coming directly opposite the wind. But man, it could happen.
I am almost doing my best to not do that anywhere anymore. Because I think that if you're going to go out of state, like there is always this level of aggression that you have to have. We call it cautiously aggressive or whatever. What do we say? We call it, you know, I don't know.
Knowledgeably.
Remember. Knowledgeably aggressive. That's right. Yeah. And you have to do things on a 5-day trip that are slightly edgy. You know, you can't go on 5-day trips and just sit the most conservative sit the whole time and expect to kill a deer. You could kill a deer, but your odds are pretty low. Whereas if you're a guy who hunts your home property and that's what you're going to do all year, yeah, sit conservative sits, have fun, see does at 100 yards every sit, and you know, sit 13, you're liable to have the big deer walk by. But you can't go out of state, set up on hunter perfect winds every time and expect to kill a deer.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
I think it can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know we've seen it happen, but I think like if you're trying to put the odds in your favor, hoping that, you know, like a buck may move into a wrong wind, you know, once a week, say. I don't know if that's an accurate fact or whatever, but like, let's just say the average mature buck moves into a wrong wind like once a week or once every 3 days or whatever. Well, if you're there for 5 days, like, you could miss it. You know what I mean?
Here's another question. How, for what distance is he going to actually tolerate that?
Yeah, not a long ways, yeah, probably.
I don't think so. I mean, I think he's going to do it to, like, get from point A to point B to maybe go get a better smell at these does.
Yeah. Or in the case where there's literally only one destination food source, and, and there's only one way he beds.
There's a real good chance he waits till after dark to do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you have to find the staging before it or yada yada.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, we were thinking about that when we were talking about, like, you know, hunting these hills. The issue is, I don't know where they're coming from in the hills necessarily either. So, like, where are they at night? Who knows? You know, how are they? So, you know, we spent time, we hunted a bowl or bowls. We hunted the bottom of the creeks. We hunted north-facing stuff, assuming that it would be doe bedding, you know, in the hotter weather.
And that was one of your better hunts, right? That's the hunt that you thought you heard a buck chasing does.
That was when we got blown at. Yeah. And then we hunted topper ridges. We hunted a place, dude, the last day we were in the hill stuff, we hunted a place that was just like, I mean, it was like, you know, if you could take two ridges and make an X out of them and just put me right on the X, it was there. And we were blowing down probably the shortest of the ridges. We were blowing our wind down that and kind of down into this little cut, you know, whatever. I mean, it should have been good, dude. And we didn't see anything. We didn't even see a squirrel, you know.
Saw it was a beautiful trail camera. And that was
saw a trail camera there. Yep, it was X marks the spot for the trail
camera.
What was
on it?
I didn't look.
Oh, dadgum.
I know.
There's some people yelling at me over that, too.
Yeah.
You better not check guys' trail cameras. That's all right, guys. I haven't done it this year.
we you know, spent time doing that. We did, once we moved, we hunted stuff. We hunted water. We hunted, like I said, more kind of northeast Texas-looking stuff where it's greenbrier thickets and down trees and oaks. A lot of, like, smaller acorn oaks, you know, like swamp oaks and stuff like that, and some southern reds and stuff. And those were our best hunts.
There were southern reds down there?
Yeah, I mean, cool. That's what I'd call them. They had pretty decent sized acorns, and they looked like southern reds.
Yeah, interesting.
What was the acorn you brought home again?
I brought those home. I brought a bunch of overcups. Yeah. There's a bunch of those. Yeah, and we hunted a grove of those that was just dropping all morning. They just top, top, top. You know, like,
that's cool.
It was big acorns just falling out of the tree all morning. Didn't see nothing except for a bunch of ducks that morning. We hunted, you know, buck brush thickets. I mean, we hunted all kinds of stuff, and we ran into, you know, there's some of the stuff that we hunted was, you know, foot traffic only. Some of it, they allowed four wheelers in certain areas on trail, you know, and, dude, we ran into so many issues with, like, unmarked four-wheeler trails and stuff. That was just so frustrating, dude. But we had bad weather all week, man. I mean, it was literally 70 to 80 degrees all week. And, you know, like, I was wearing, like, 1 to 2 jackets in the morning and being okay. And I run pretty cold. So, yeah, I mean, there was, like, I think we learned a lot about how to hunt from some of the people we talked to and stuff in the area, but I wouldn't say that I learned a lot about how to hunt from my own experiences. I learned maybe more about how not to hunt. You're joking.
Valuable.
You were joking the other day about on X is actually the X is for eliminating spots.
That's right. It's not for marking. So, it's for eliminating.
So we used on X a lot this week, and we didn't have great service a lot of times. So, using that offline feature was nice. I was able to save a ton of maps on the way up. And what's really cool is I think they've shrunk the size somehow of their maps
yeah,
that you save
offline. Way faster.
So it downloads way faster, and we were able to get the things we needed really quick.
How many times have we been heading to a destination and been like, oh, shoot, we need to download the map. And then, like, you're trying to get it downloaded while you're on a hill before you drop it.
Yep. Dude, Map Scout Challenges the first year.
Oh,
we were like,
my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So it was nice. And I was able to use that. And that was a big thing. You know, Eric was talking about, like, you know, how people are hunting further back in these days maybe and stuff. And I think a big part of that is also on X, you know, like in apps like that. I mean, I can go offline and I can walk. You know, I would walk with my map out almost consistently because I wanted to walk the straightest line back to the truck. A, because I'm hacked that I'm having to walk and didn't see a deer, you know?
Yeah.
And B, because, you know, we can get out of there quick and efficiently. And, you know, used to, you had to kind of use markers or, you know,
tacks
in the trees or whatever, you know, to get out of there. And so now you can see everything. And we were able to adjust on the fly too. Like, I didn't have to just... like we got in yesterday was our last day. We get in to this spot. Like, I get off this four wheeler trail. That was another unmarked old four wheeler trail. And I go down in and we're trying to cross this swamp and Eric's boots are about 2 inches too short, you know? And, we really were getting, like, I got almost put my foot, you know, my boot got wet almost at one point. And Eric, I was like, man, he, and I turned around, we were sitting there taking a break because I was sweating my head off. And Eric goes, it's gonna be kind of hard to get a deer out of here. And I was like, you right, let's turn around. So we turned around, you know, at that point, because I thought, man, like, if you put 40 pounds on my back right now, I'm getting wet for sure.
Y'all were in sled country. He needed a little, you know, what them duck hunters carry around, you know?
Yeah. Because, I mean, where we were trying to get to this little peninsula that was, like, we were going across the swamp, and we'd have left 99% of people at that point, and it would have been a good win. And we weren't able to get across, and so we had to adjust from there. And I'm not saying that my adjustment was good, because we didn't see any deer, but we did. We busted a doe on the way, right before we got there.
Way to go.
We didn't see any deer while hunting. We were walking.
And how important are moral victories to you on a
that
hunt like that?
That was an important one for till shooting light was over.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I don't give a hoot about that right there. I was so daggum mad last night. But I was very happy that I was getting a shower for the first time in several days because if you can imagine hiking camera gear and, you know, saddle platforms and sticks into these places that are, I mean, that hunt yesterday was a short walk and a straight line was like 840, which is a half mile.
Ooh,
and
that's
so
tough. No shower. Like, I've done the no shower in Nebraska. We got kind of funky.
Yeah.
But like the other day I slept in the truck for 5 days and hunted without a shower. Didn't take a shower. I got home. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Cause it was 25 at night and 60 in the daytime at the hottest, you know, so it's like, you're fine.
It was,
but you go down there in the swamp country and it's 85 and you're doing that.
Dude,
I was,
this is nasty, but I went to sleep with wet underwear a couple times.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Just not fun, you know, just sweating, man. So it was nice last night. I was kind of relieved to go get in a hotel. That was one thing that made me feel better, but we got a hotel and got showered up. But I mean, really just, yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it last night because I'm like, man, I kind of got nostalgic thinking about things at the end of the hunt, you know. And I was like, you know, the Jones side of my family is from Arkansas, and they came over, and I'm sitting here like looking out into the woods, right, at this point thinking about this stuff. And they came over and landed in North Carolina, and then from North Carolina, they migrated west and ended up in Arkansas. And until my dad, they were in Arkansas in a little town called Patmos, which isn't even a town anymore, I don't think. And anyway, so my dad grew up in Longview but spent a lot of time up there, right, in Patmos in the summers and stuff with his cousins and, you know, grandparents and stuff like that. And I was just thinking, man, you know, about that. And I was thinking, like, this, I'm looking out at the woods. I'm like, man, when my relatives showed up, this is kind of probably what it looked like. And they're just out there in the woods.
They just decided to live there.
They're just living,
Golly.
You know? And so I'm just like, I'm thinking about it, and it's kind of crazy to think about how simple things were. They didn't have Onyx. They didn't have nothing. They just, you know, made their way, you know.
Dude, we deliberate so hard about how to find a spot to spend the next 4 hours. Imagine what it would feel like with your stuff in this wagon. Your wife and three kids are in there, and you're like, should I put my house there, or should we go over the next hill? Yeah. You talk about stress, golly.
I know, man. And I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, and I was thinking about also just like the simplicity of life back then and how cool that could be too, mm-hmm. you know, how good that could be. And you know, thinking about the generations, like I, the only person that I knew, or I guess I knew, so I knew my dad's grandmother, who's my great grandmother, and my dad's dad and his brother, and they all grew up there, you know, in the Patmos area and lived there. And my dad's dad and his brother moved to East Texas. And that's, so like there was only my great grandmother living there, and, you know, she pretty much lived and died there and, pretty much in the Hope area. And, you know, I was just like, man, thinking about her, I only have a few memories of hers, of being there for, you know, you go see relatives like that when you're young, twice a year, you mm-hmm. know, whatever, around holidays. And I was thinking, man, it's just crazy. I don't know all this. I don't even know how this all like ties in, but I was thinking also about how, like, man, in just like two generations, like, you're forgotten. Everything, mm-hmm. everything that you ever did. You know, there's only a few Henry T. Fords out there, right? Mm-hmm. And the rest of us are just a bunch of no-name Joes that, like...
We are butt dust, right?
That's it,
that's
man.
How the scripture goes, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, really, like, you're... I mean, after your grandkids pass on, probably not. Nobody's going to even think about you.
Yeah.
Nobody's even literally going to think about you hardly. And so, like, you know, I was thinking about, like, the legacy that we carry, and everybody wants to, you know, everybody wants to have this power and fame and like have a legacy and create something, do something well for the earth and all this and that, man. And those are good messages, I think. I don't think they're necessarily well intended all the time, but like it's good thoughts. But really what matters, man, I know that you know exactly where I'm going with this, but what matters and where you won't be forgotten is where you end up after you die, right?
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking how grateful I was just to be there. And you know, endure something that was difficult for almost a week, and to be able to, you know, you and I think about this a lot. Like, how do we glorify God in the losses? You know, because mm-hmm. I, you know, not to sound arrogant or anything, but like I have not had an out of state tag since Nebraska of 2020 in September that I didn't fill at some point during the season in the last 2 years, and so. I don't know if I go back to Arkansas and get a chance to fill that one this year. It doesn't feel like it. And so it was tough for me to not fill that tag.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of blessing to be able to kill a deer and come back as a non-resident with one. But I also, you and I both are this way. When we make a plan and we deliberate for that 4 hours that we're going to be in a stand and we're like, oh, what do we do? What do we do? Mm-hmm. Like when we come up with a plan, there are a lot of times we think, I mean, there are times when like we think, might be a stupid spot or whatever. It's probably not going to work. But there are most of the time probably that you and I kind of expect to kill a deer mm-hmm. every time, you know? And like every time we go somewhere, we're like, we expect to kill a deer.
Yeah.
Just because we're putting everything into it that we can.
Why would you not though? You know, like if you don't expect to kill a deer, go to a place you expect to kill a deer.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's where we're at, you know? It's mm-hmm. like, We're trying to kill a deer, and that's what the fun. Like I told Tony Peterson this. I was on the Wired to Hunt podcast recently, and a lot of you guys probably listened to it. I told him I love hunting, but there's only one moment really where I'm shaking out of control, and it's after I shoot a deer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not while I'm sitting there thinking about, I wonder if a deer's gonna come down that trail or this
15.
Trail. Yeah. You know, yeah, for real. But I mean, really, like I like shooting deer. Man. I will say it. I know it may not be the most popular message these days. I like shooting deer, man.
I know, dude.
It's crazy.
Remember the little Forky that came in and you got this big grin on your face and you're like, should I shoot it?
Dude, I was hoping he would be like, yeah, you should, dude. Because there was like a thick butterball Arkansas Forky, just wish sitting there at 23 broadside. I was like, dude, this is a rip shot. Should I shoot him? Like, I can. That's like, he won't go anywhere. He won't go anywhere, dude. But of course, at that point, we were literally over a mile back in, and I'm like, I don't know.
You and I have been there before on a deer. It's like, should we shoot that deer? It's like, man, it's a long way out of here. Yeah,
I kind of came in here for something a little bit bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true, man. And but, it's a good point. I had something I really want to talk about off of that, but I can't remember what it was.
Sorry,
man. What did we just talk about? You talked about...
just legacy and basically, you know, that, you know, if you... you know, well, I guess we went into talking about a little bit more about the aspects of the hunt that I enjoy and, you know, but really just the fact that everybody kind of wants to have this, like, I mean, a lot of people listen to this would like to be known as the big buck killer, right? And, you know, granted, that does feel good when somebody says something, praises you about your big buck killing, but it satisfies the flesh. And there are other things, man, that are worth a lot more. And like I said, that you can... count on there being something, somebody who cares about you and knows about you for a long time. Like I said, we're is on this earth, it does not take long. I mean, I can remember my great grandmother. She lived, I think she was like 90. I mean, she lived a long time, but I don't remember a whole lot about her, and I was never old enough to know a whole lot about her actual, like, personality and characteristics, other than, of course, she was a sweet lady to her great grandkids, you know, but, like, I didn't know anything
you
else about her.
You
kind of
almost got to be sweet when you're 90. Yeah. If you're mean when you're 90, ain't nobody doing nothing for you. No. So you're, you
can sit in a nursing home and die.
Not saying that she wasn't, you know, naturally sweet, but
no,
just,
yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know. I was just thinking about that and trying to figure out, like, I don't know. That's the best thing about sitting in a stand, man, is you get to reflect and think about, like, what is life actually for? What is it worth? What do you do with it? And, you know, why am I here?
The insignificance is pretty deafening sometimes when you can go out there and sit in a tree and then, like, you see a squirrel making his way and just he's never seen a human before. But it's like, man... how am I any different from that? You know, like I am just a piece of dirt on this earth pretty much, you know, like what I feel like there's the, you know, first player syndrome or you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like, you think you're the main character syndrome. And, a lot of us feel that way. I think almost everyone at some point kind of has a little bit of that, but like, dude, we might think what we're doing is important, but
there's 7 billion of you.
There's 8,000 people in equipment that don't even know who I am. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's just the town over.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it don't matter.
No.
You know, like that what you accomplish here just doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't
matter at all.
Yeah, it's you know, I think you're right. Like when you're talking about, you know, affecting the world with change and stuff, you know.
Is that with an A or an E?
That is A. That's an A effect.
Are you pretty confident about the usage of those words?
I'm fairly confident.
I have a hard time. I avoid using effect and affect in sentences. I'm serious.
Yeah. What about a part and a part?
I can do that pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Because that one's a struggle for some people for sure.
A lot and a lot is a struggle for people too.
One of those isn't actually a word, I don't think.
A lot?
Yeah.
Like combined?
Yeah. What's the difference in a lot and a lot?
I don't know.
I think they're the same. They mean the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually a word. But it's one of those things, because culture can actually create a word.
Interesting.
We've talked about this, right?
I mean, ain't is there,
yeah,
right?
You know what else? It was not a word until ESPN started using it a bunch, was physicality.
Really?
It was actually not technically a word until, but now I believe it is in the dictionary.
I think
now.
There's a couple things in... that ESPN or sports have created words about, right? Like, one's a combination of words, right? So kind of like the guesstimation thing or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But it's a different one that ESPN uses that they made a word. I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, like culture defines language.
Yeah.
Right. So it is what it is.
I think
is.
We should have a linguist on this podcast sometime.
Yeah, we did. You remember?
Who was it?
Corey Jacobson. right after that field linguist came.
We should. I forgot about that. That's such a big. That was like the last hurrah for like epic films from the companies of Sitka, Matthews, and Yeti. Pretty much. It felt like it at least.
And now everybody's like, let's run this POV cam and run through the woods.
For real. Yeah, it's completely opposite. It's just like clothes, right? You know,
that's it.
You're either wearing high waisted or super low waisted.
That's right, dude. You know? Yeah, that's it.
Which one do you prefer? Your wife.
My wife wear?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, no. Can't go there.
Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. You remember that?
I do.
My dad loved that song.
American Idol, which is no longer running. It went 20 years. Can you believe that?
Dang, they cut it off on the...
That's right. I think Paula finally took too many drugs. But... I do want to hit on something you did say a while ago about how like we feel like we're gonna kill a deer. It takes a lot of personal gusto or whatever you want to call it to get let down that much. You know what I'm saying? Because if you go in feeling like you're gonna kill a deer, say how many times are you gonna sit in the stand this year? 80? probably over and under, right?
I mean, if I'm most of these hunts, I'm setting a stand twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to count that as a two in one day, I'd say easy 80.
Yeah. To be let down 78 of the last 80 times that you've thought that. No. You've killed 40 or
four this year.
I'm 78. You're 76. So the last 70.
Same thing.
Yeah. 76 out of 80.
Yeah.
You've been let down that many times.
Yep.
Which, I guess you could throw caveats in there where, like, you have close encounters or whatever. But have you had a close encounter with a shooter buck that you didn't shoot?
I don't think so.
I don't think you have either. I mean, you've seen
him. You don't see him.
The 11 point.
Yeah, but he wasn't in range, right?
No, he wasn't in range.
I've had shooters in range and not got shots this year, but, like, that's that you can kind of have those as caveats. But, like, overall, still, kill or not kill. 76 out of the out of 80 sets, you've had a super big letdown on something you thought was going to be good. You have to be constituted a certain way to be able to deal with that type of. It's not rejection, but it's like you know what I'm saying, like that type of.
But rejection denial would be the same feeling.
Yeah. You're being denied of something you thought
so
you had.
I'm not. So I think you are naturally. Optimistic and able to deal with that a little better.
Used to be, and then I started hanging with you more. So now you're rubbing off on me.
Now we're just a bunch of losers. I'm the worst.
No.
Romans 3.
Okay. It's your Calvinist background. That's what it is. Right.
Oh, Calvin-y. But I think that where I am able to deal with it, is you've rubbed off on me. We've met in the middle somewhere. Yeah. And B, I think all the music stuff over the years helped me because I can't tell you how many emails I've sent that like just either no response when I know they seen it. And like these tiny venues, like, come on, pay me $400, you know, and for the whole band and let's, you know, just let me play a show on the way to Lubbock or something. You know what I mean?
I'll take a net zero just for the publicity, right?
Yeah, or just to have a practice, you know, or whatever. And you know, and then I've had other times where people have just said, "No, we don't really like what you're doing," or whatever. You know, like it's like, "Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm glad." I don't. You know, it's like, not everybody liked Metallica either. You know,
so,
but not that Metallica. But anyway, I think that has helped me that. Years of that gave me the ability, because I don't think I would have dealt with this kind of like, had we come up with a term? It's not rejection, but defeat or
defeat.
It's not really defeating because it's not cat and mouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not. He's not skirting you. I said denial because you're kind of getting denied of what you thought was a thing.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think I've been able to deal with that better. I wouldn't naturally be able to do that very well.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you're not a new hunter at this point in time, but you're newer than we are. Like, we grew up doing it, you know. That's, I mean, playing, you were quite the athlete growing up, right? So, like, you probably are used to losing a little bit. Not too much because you won, like, all the passing records and stuff, right? Like a G over here. But, like, how do you feel about that concept of, like, knowing that, you know, 95% or plus the times that you're going to go out and feel good about something, it's going to be bad?
It's been pretty tough.
Yeah.
It's been tough battling that because I've been let down for four or five years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, part of it's that place you hunt.
Yeah.
That's tough country,
it's
dude.
It's tough, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
There's other places in Illinois that you could have more success for
sure.
Yeah,
I'm going to be scouting some new places next year.
Yeah, I'm thinking like should call the juries up and see if they can let you at their place, man. They seem to have a little better success.
The juries do not need to know Eric exists, okay?
For real. This boy over here playing dominoes with my coins.
No, that's that guess who game. George Washington.
Clue. You ever play Clue?
Oh, yeah, dude. I used to love Clue.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Colonel Mustard.
I like the games of... there's games of chance and there's games of like intelligence or whatever.
Strategy.
I'm big on strategy.
Do you like Risk?
Never played Risk.
Ooh, Risk is a good one.
Yeah.
It's real good.
I liked Monopoly, which is pretty boring to tell you the truth. But
you ever play cards much?
Yeah.
What's your favorite card games?
This is
like you like Hold'em better than Blackjack?
I don't like any. I don't like poker that much, really.
Oh.
Yeah. I like
Go Fish and stuff.
Like the... Yeah. No, actually, my favorite card game is ERS. You remember ERS? It's where you're
Sounds like something... There's a medical condition for.
It's where you all have... You just pass all the cards out, and then everybody starts laying them down, and you slap doubles. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I've heard of it.
We played that in middle school and high school a lot.
Yeah.
And now we play it in youth group a lot. It's not really a card game, but you use cards.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But as far as strategy games... Spades. I've played spades a little bit.
I know some people
it's kind of
like
42.
Yeah.
And I like 42 a lot.
Yeah.
So
I liked, we started playing this game that Kaylee's cousin and uncle brought home from elk camp. We call it Kings and Peasants.
I've heard of that. Maybe I'll try to introduce this to you.
Yeah, probably. There's a more crude term for it, some people call it, but it's
ERS is an acronym for a worse term.
Good. Yeah. That's card games typically get that way.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. We had been playing that last year or so. And then I played a lot of Hold'em in high school with over at your boy Cody,
mm-hmm.
Cody's house with him and his brother and some other people. We used to play for some, $20 or whatever, $20 buy-in or whatever, and had some fun, some late nights over there.
I usually had more fun, instead of gambling with monetary things, gambling with, humiliation type things, like...
You shave your head kind of thing.
Yeah, if you lose, you got to go...
pull your pants down and walk across the parking lot or whatever.
We had a deal like that. I can't even remember the situation, and I'm going to definitely keep the names under wraps. But somehow or another...
Brandon.
He was around, but he wasn't in the car. One of our buddies had to drive from the square in Sulphur Springs out to where Sonic used to be and turn around and come back with their pants down. And the only way, I don't know why, it's kind of like, well, you're in the car, but we sent another guy with him to make sure.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So both of these guys, one, the driver.
It's like, please don't get pulled over.
Oh, he got pulled over.
Oh, no.
He got pulled over.
Oh, no way. Yes. Did he pull his pants up?
The officer made him step out of the car.
Oh.
And.
Ooh.
Yeah.
With his pants down completely?
With his pants down. Yes.
Pants on the ground.
I think it was probably, I'm going to embarrass this teenager to where he never does anything wrong ever again. Had to step out with his pants down. Damn. And then got to pull his pants up after that.
Oh, my goodness.
And then lost the bet because he didn't make it all the way around.
Oh, worse. That go, the dash cam catch it?
I don't know.
That'd be
it's
pretty
a good,
good
question.
See it on Cops one day.
Oh, man. Ooh, yeah.
Gosh.
Well, we don't do any of that kind of stuff with the Element, guys. Don't you worry.
No,
so.
Not since about 2006.
Oh, the good days, man. You do stuff like that without people posting it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Back then.
Nobody had. If you had a flip phone, you were special then.
Yeah. I just wanted a razor so bad, and I got a katana instead.
It's weird, man. Like, flip phones were like – you know, the joke was in high school was like, oh, I don't have that kind of money. I ain't got a flip phone, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it became, if you had a flip phone, you were a loser because you didn't have an iPhone or
right.
whatever. Or
yeah. Android. I remember the first girl to get an iPhone at my high school, and I was like, why would I want my iPod to also be a phone? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then now, apparently, flip phones are like the cool thing again.
Are they?
It's like that you're in the cool club again, from what I understand.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like just the same thing. It's like high-waisted, low-waisted, high-waisted.
That's it, man. What about the guy version of low-waisted, high-waisted is ankle socks versus calf socks and versus no-shows.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be team no-show for life. Oh, I like my no-shows.
I like
man.
No-shows, too. I wear these tall
ones. You wear
ones.
Taller ones.
I wear all of them.
And, yeah, I like the no-shows, but I don't buy clothes for myself very often.
Yeah.
I just deal with it, and then my wife will be like, hey, you want a T-shirt when she's out? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Or you want some socks? Sure. Mm-hmm. She'll come back with some peephaw-looking dadgum over the ankle, but not high.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this is the worst
socks,
thing you could have got me.
Socks and underwear are the two things that I can go to the store and buy for myself.
My wife bought me a bunch of these nice underwears that were on sale, and they're bad to the bone.
What brand?
And so, I can't remember. They're like, apparently, like normally like $30 yeah. a piece or something, and she bought a bunch of them that were like, I don't know, I felt like they were like 50% off or whatever.
I wear and ones a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and ones make some pretty good undies.
I got Reebok. And, Reebok's pretty good.
I'm Reebok, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a, you call me hot sauce.
I was
on the and one.
White chocolate.
That's it. I got and one socks.
That's it, dude. And ones got good stuff.
I have some and one socks just like that. There. I have the same ones. Who's the and one? Is he the same creator that created Sean John?
I don't know.
Who is it? He's a
Sean
shark.
Sean Puffy Combs?
He's a shark.
You talking about Puff Daddy?
It's FUBU, isn't
Somebody's
it?
Somebody's yelling right now.
I thought it was FUBU.
Maybe it's FUBU.
It's not Puff Daddy?
No.
No, yeah. He is a shark. I forget his name, though.
What's his Damien or Damon.
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever his name is. Yeah.
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 I think it's FUBU.
He created A1, I'm pretty sure, too.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyways.
You think A1 is Puff Daddy? Or no. What'd you say?
Sean John, I thought, was Puff Daddy.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Is it P. Diddy?
Yeah, he's all
it's changed
that
stuff. A lot, Sean but Puffy it went Combs. Back to like, yeah. 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 That's it. Sean Combs.
Like we're experts in, culture. In popular culture. Yeah. Well, we hadn't talked about hunting in about 10 minutes, so I guess it's probably about time to wrap this up. This has been a little bit of a hangout podcast, guys, but there's some tactic in there, so I hope y'all enjoyed that part at least. Good time of year to buy a Christmas gift,
yes.
a.k.a. a Element t-shirt or hoodie. So I hear word on the street is that there might be some hats coming around.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The shirts are here. And the shirts are comfy, man. Like, we got some good quality shirts.
Eric's wearing one right now.
Yeah. So you can go to the Element website, which we need to update the inventory before people start buying
Apparently
some stuff
so.
That's out of order or out of... stock, but we've got, we still have some sweatshirts. We've got tons of shirts. That would help us out tremendously with gas money and stuff like that. And what else? Oh, KC's buck released this week. So the Kansas buck, 8-yard shot from the ground, spot and stalk. It's just awesome.
So a lot of people expressed interest in video of the shot anatomy, and we didn't video it because we were just really trying to get him, because it's starting to warm up a little bit. We're trying to get him gutted and gone. We did a shot anatomy on my 2020 mm-hmm. buck, but not this one. So I thought that maybe we could, maybe in the summertime, do an off-season video where maybe we draw some diagrams or whatever and show kind of what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just a thought. But if you want more discussion on that, YouTube is not friendly to... blood and guts and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care to show you guts, but we understand that processing deer is a part of life. So if you care to at least talk about that kind of stuff, the Facebook group, the Element DIY Hunting, is a pretty good spot for us to have, you know, the conversation, because it's a private group, right? So mm-hmm. we can have conversations that, you know, not are bad, but just are more on the hunter type mentality type
stuff. Not too many PETA members in that group.
Actually trying to make sure there aren't. It's a nice thing about being a moderator or whatever they're called on Facebook, that you can just send people into oblivion if you want to.
Yep.
Power trip.
Facebook's about to become a new thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know how much participation we're going to have in that whenever
I don't
that
either.
Goes on.
What it's is it?
Meta.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It's supposed to be like a good way for you to put some VR goggles on and never talk to a person again in real life.
Dude, it's like the people have not seen that movie. What was it? Is that Robot
1984
movie?
1984 or whatever?
Yeah, no, that's a book. But I guess there probably is a couple of 1984 movies. But Wall-E.
Oh, yeah.
That's like straight up some stuff from Wall-E right there.
I know.
Yeah.
It's weird, dude.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is, man. I don't know. Yeah. But that's something we can all do now, is getting that group and chat and stuff.
It's been pretty fun. We talk a lot about some scouting stuff and good place to bounce some ideas off of people. So it's a friendly place.
That's right.
A
couple things we got coming up. We're still going hunting places, and we're still, you know, making videos. We're going to have more videos releasing from my Kansas buck. Might put something out from Arkansas. If you want to see a few deer, a couple turkeys, and several interviews and ducks from Arkansas, let us know. Send us a message, and that'll give us an idea if anybody really wants to watch that. Also, you can send us a message or comment on the post that I just made today, which is December 4th, and there is a post of all of my Onyx pins on Instagram. So you can go look at all my pins on the entire United States map, and you can comment on it and say where you want us to go do like a kind of scouting get together, where we're going to get together and probably look at maps, and we're going to talk about, I hate to call it a clinic because we're not like experts or whatever, but it's a clinic where we get together all in one spot. We show you what we do. Maybe that gives you some ideas. It'll also be very open forum kind of discussion.
It's like a clinic with a more communist feel, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not so, us, but we.
Yeah, that's right. It's like a Piggly Wiggly, man. It's employee owned, you know?
That's it.
So,
they don't exist anymore.
They do in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So, but you can comment on that post and you can let us know what state we should come to. The few states that get the most comments is where we're going to end up going probably. Because if you say New Mexico, you are the only one, okay? You're the only one that lives there that knows us probably.
Yeah. Although if you do know where some deer are in New Mexico, let us know.
Yeah, for real. We've seen Florida quite a bit on here.
Missouri's on there quite a bit, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Misery, he said.
Yeah.
So Florida, I don't know about that either, but there's a good chance that we could go down there and catch
Justin?
Some fish.
Which one?
There's a bunch.
Oh.
Jared Larson from Onyx is one.
Said go to Florida?
He said you better check out Florida.
Well, get out of here, Jared.
I know. I don't know what he's thinking, but he may just be trying to send us on a rabbit
I think so.
Trail. But anyway, that's something that you can do as well. We're gonna be at a few different shows this early in 2022. So if you are at any of the outdoor or hunting or bow hunting shows, expos like NWTF, ATA, or anything like that, let us know. Send us a message, and we'll try to maybe hook up with you and see what's going on or whatever.
Kind of stinks. Dallas Safari Club and ATA are the same weekend, so we won't get to see some of you local guys at that one because we need to go to ATA for business purposes. But we'll try to make some of the other Texas shows, like the one down in Houston and stuff, the Extravaganza and whatnot.
Yeah, and that's another thing. That reminds me, we're going to do we did a Texas kind of get together at Hagerman National Wildlife Refuge it was like August, I think, this year. We're going to do probably three of those type of deals this year, maybe a little, probably won't be doing the actual boots scouting too much. We'll be doing a little more of the, just kind of get together, hang out, get to know each other and look at, e-scouting more. And then also look at some of the gear that we partner with, you know, and show you some cruiser saddles and, you know, new cell cams and whatever else we're kind of working with this coming year.
Vectas.
The Vector arrows, you know. So we're going to come up with a schedule for that. But here in January and February, try to leave that stuff open if you're interested and you're in maybe the Houston area, maybe the DFW area, or maybe even like the Austin.
I-35 corridor.
I-35 corridor in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be looking for that. And anything else announcement wise?
That sounds pretty good. Yeah. I would imagine that if my Kansas buck just came out, there's probably another Kansas buck coming out pretty soon.
There should be.
Mm-hmm.
I have not even put any of that on the timeline yet, but I don't think there's a ton in between there that happened other than me and Eric looking at two different giant bucks.
How could that happen?
I don't know. But that definitely happened. But so
how many of those deer that y'all saw did Eric see?
All of them.
All right, dude.
Plus more.
Where? Are we talking about Arkansas or Kansas? Oh, okay.
No,
I'm
talking about Arkansas.
Oh, are you? Yeah. He saw all of them, I think. All right,
dude.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
Of course, we had them all in bow range, pretty much. I mean, we were in the spot. The first day we moved from the first spot, we saw nine deer. And I was like, oh, we are the best hunters in the world. And then we went 1 for 4 or 5 the next 4 or 5 hunts.
Yeah, I left your stuff there and then didn't see anything the next morning, right?
We saw one.
That cruiser?
Was the little cruiser buck, yeah.
And then decided to leave there and go elsewhere.
And we decided to leave there, go elsewhere, and see zero deer the rest of the trip. Oh. But I'm glad to be home. I'm a little bit sore. I'm glad to be back on the podcast, talking, chatting, hanging with you guys, man. It's been a while. Like,
I know it.
We hadn't got to all three chat at the same time much, and you guys are about to take off again here soon, and I think y'all are going to kill a nice buck.
Feeling like it. I hope they, man, I don't know. I'm getting these little doubtful thoughts running through my head, but I feel good about it.
Yeah, you got it.
It's just, it's December, and it's not November, but that doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It's actually good, because if you go up there and it's cold, there's going to be some eating deer.
Yeah.
They're going to want to eat, dude.
I just am concerned that what I learned last time
doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's my concern.
I can see that.
But we're going to roll up there. We're going to hang some Moultrie cell cams while we're there and maybe get a little bit of up-to-date information, and that'll help us.
Speaking of, I've been getting on that Moultrie mobile app and seeing only pictures of your bucks, and I'm mad about
which
it.
Which never happens.
I have no pictures
right
of them.
Right now, the little 5-point that I watched all morning, he has been in there all day long. Like, there's not a 2-hour period that he hasn't visited that spot.
Dang, he ain't giving them hogs no chance.
I rattled him in today, and I think he just knows that there's something going on there.
Yeah.
He's had that in his mind and he can't not.
Yeah. Dude, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping you guys have good luck. It is December, and so, you know, it's the best month has passed. Mm-hmm. But, dude, I killed with some rut action on December 28th last year.
Yeah.
So, it can happen, man. And if you're listening, you know, this is... There's a lot of dudes out there still hunting and still grinding and giving it a good shot and having a good time and having good hunts.
I'll tell you
and
this.
We get some cold weather.
The best hunts I've had on Texas public are far and away in December.
Yeah.
Throughout my life. Really? So, yeah. I mean, think about back to what's that deer I missed in 2017?
Scar.
Scar 16.
16?
16. Missed Scar in December.
Yep. December 18th or 22nd, something like that. I think it was the 18th.
I think it's, yeah. I mean, we had good hunts all that month.
Yeah.
And last year, like, I had bucks all over the place in December and probably That's still right. plan on going over there and trying to do some of that.
I just feel like some of those, the Texas stuff at least, like, there's just like a November is the time to see that extra age class deer a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
We still see like mostly 2 and 3 year olds at the biggest that time of year.
Tell you what, by December 10th, I'm ready to rip on a 3-year-old.
Dude, if it's legal, it's like it's Brown's down.
That's right.
Anyway, y'all just get out there and get after it if you still got tags to fill and you want to do it, man, because it's a good time of year. And like we were saying, the rut may be over, but they're going to be feeding and they're going to be fairly consistent. And if you can get in there and not sit a stupid sit, and sit a smart sit mm-hmm. on some deer that are patternable, then you can kill a deer. So remember that, and remember, this is your element.
Liberty.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, head it back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1st, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2nd, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4th, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5th, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.